Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Talk Shonen. I am Jared.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Talk Shonen. I am Jared.
That was very close.
Thank you. I know. I'm a narrator, remember?
I am Turtle.
I could be on Critical Role. I'm a voice actor, maybe. I mean, and I'm Turtle.
Unless it's that one accent that you said you can't do. I forget which one it is.
I can't do it, and I can't do English accents to save my life.
Oi.
Oi. I can't do Cockney if I can ever remember. Nope, that's going to diaries. I can't fucking do it. It's like my accent kryptonite is.
Have you ever just watched Guy Ritchie?
I do. Do you understand? I watch Doctor Who. I know what an English accent sounds like.
But like,
I watch a lot of English. I love English television. Top Gear is one of my favorite shows for years. I can't do
just
English.
Quote it.
I can't.
Just quote it.
My mouth does not make English noises. It always turns Irish or Scottish.
So you can't say like, "Hello, governor."
Hello, governor. I can do.
It sounded kind of New Zealand.
Yeah, okay.
That was
see,
a little bit New
I
Zealand
always
in there.
Fall into Australian.
Yeah.
Something about me must reek of English convict. That's what it is. I can't
can you,
do.
Okay, can you do the Mary Poppins Dick Van Dyke voice?
No.
So you're going to be like, "The wind's in the east."
No, not even a little bit. I could talk like an Australian all day
oh
and night.
Oh, God. Oh,
well. I do Australian accents to save my life, mate. I could be good at getting there. Hey, how you doing today? I was down at the pub with my mates, and we were just having a shrimp on the barbie, and it doesn't even... Nothing about that.
You're going to make every Australian so mad.
I know.
They hate when people say shrimp on the barbie. I hate those stereotypes too,
but I do whole D&D campaigns with Australian accents.
Yeah.
I could do that all day, every day. You don't understand.
going a little bit Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi. Yeah, that's yeah. It. This is, my name's Korg. I'm a stone man. I'm starting a rebellion.
I'm a rock. You don't have to worry unless you scissors.
Unless you scissors, yeah. Like, I could do that all day, all night. You give me any line in an English accent and it's gone. It's gone.
Man.
I've turned down auditions that I've scrolled through and like, I love the story of this book and like needs English. And I'm like, can't do it,
man. I'm going to have to help you out.
I don't know. I got to get like, I got to get coaching on
it. I'm not great with an English accent, but I can do it.
I can do so. What's crazy is I can do so many accents. And these are accents I just do because I'm weird and talk in accents all the time.
Yeah.
If I spend any amount of time like trying to learn an accent, I pick it up immediately.
Instantly. Yeah.
Except English. I don't know what it is.
Well, that's how Irish and Scottish was for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like I was supposed to speak Irish and Scottish.
Yeah.
Like, that's how easily it came to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, English was difficult for me, I will say. Like, when I was learning how to do an English accent, I don't know why. I'm not acting anymore.
Yeah.
So, but I just...
Can't do it.
I was like, you know what? I'm gonna practice these things just in case it ever becomes helpful.
Absolutely. Speaking of English accents...
I was actually going to use this
that transition.
As the same segue.
Speaking of English accents, the star of the movie we're talking about today is English, has an English accent, did an American accent for the movie, and fucking killed it.
Yeah. We're talking about the Batman.
And Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson as
so
the Batman.
He was so, okay.
Well, first I'm going to say right off the bat, heavy spoiler warning.
Oh, yeah. Please, we're going to talk about everything. I'm going to blow my load of excitement. I've been holding on to this since Saturday when I saw it. But we were talking before I went into the movie.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm going to see the Batman. You know, we talked about it on the previous podcast.
Yeah.
I went in very neutral. I'm excited to kind of see it, but, you know, I wasn't expecting much.
Yeah. Hilarious is that episode, because of like the break that we took, comes out tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Of the day that we're recording this.
So tomorrow when you hear me talking about it, it'll be...
Tomorrow when you hear him talking about how he thinks about the trailer, we'll be have already talked about the movie. Because, you know, whatever.
Yeah, time is the thing. And... I went in very just laissez-faire, just let's see how it goes.
Because I said, give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down afterwards.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. We said, like, give me like a 10-star review
with a thumbs up or something like that.
And I was like, sure, I'll send you something. Okay.
I was legitimately expecting, like, you to be like, 2 thumbs up.
I honestly expected to come out and be like, well, 5 out of 10. Like, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't expect much.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I got out of the theater. I ran to the bathroom. I sat down to piss because it's a 3-hour movie and I had to go like a racehorse. And I sent Jared a text from the toilet with 9 thumbs.
Yep.
And he was like, wow, really? And I was like, Really?
Yeah, I immediately became hyped.
Mm-hmm.
Super duper hyped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say right off the bat, Robert Pattinson, his voice in this, he did a great job.
Awesome.
I liked the fact that he actually had two different Batman voices.
Mm-hmm.
He had Batman voice for people who were never, ever going to ever meet Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
Which is he just talked like Bruce Wayne.
Yep, exactly. Because
he's like, why do I need to do a voice? You're never going to meet Bruce Wayne.
He definitely had like an intimidation voice for thugs.
Yeah, and then he had his, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
He had his voice.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that he used with Commissioner Gordon. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, Detective Gordon.
Detective Gordon. He wasn't Commissioner yet. Lieutenant Gordon, actually.
Yeah. Oh, Lieutenant, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Get it right. He earned that Lieutenant.
That's
right.
True. He got the shield. He got, what is it, a gold shield when you're a Lieutenant?
I don't know.
I don't know how cops work.
Don't quote me on anything. Cops, I have no idea.
Yeah. I will say something about his Batman voice, though. When it first started, I was like, real heavy Rorschach vibes going on right now.
A little bit. It did mellow throughout the movie, I think, a little bit, though, too. They kind of went heavy-handed on the imposing Dark Knight figure early on to kind of demonstrate what he's been doing up to this point.
Yeah.
To show you, like, how he built that temple of fear.
Mm-hmm. I loved that.
Oh, same.
Absolutely. Because we talked about this when we talked about, you know, the episode that just came out that everybody's listening to. When we talked in that one, I was kind of upset that he was Bullet Sponge Batman again, that he was going to be that brawler, that brawler form. But I loved that he was like, nah, I just did psychological warfare on all of Batman or all of Gotham, where you don't know if Batman's in any particular shadow.
Yes.
The moment you see that light turn on, if you're doing something you're not supposed to, I could be anywhere because I can't be everywhere.
Yep.
So I could be anywhere.
Exactly. And it's so good. And by the way, he was not as much of a bullet sponge as I was afraid they were going to make him.
Yeah.
There was a couple scenes where you're like, oh man, but they were really intense scenes. You feel like you felt like he's not a sponge. He's actually at risk. It's just really good luck or skill.
I do like the fact that every time he was in a position where he knew he couldn't get out of the way, his first instinct was throw the elbow up over his face in the direction that the people were shooting from, because his arm's bulletproof, his face is not.
Yeah, exactly. The scene where he bat suit glides off the building.
That was incredible. Yeah. I did not see that coming.
When the parachute caught the bridge...
Yes.
And he ragdolled. That was the only scene where I was like, I don't know if he'd walk away from that.
Yeah.
And
B
made my asshole clench. It looked so painful.
Yeah. I laughed a little bit because I was like, that is so funny.
I was like,
because you never think about that.
No, yeah. You think he's gonna nail it on this bus. It's totally fine. He's just gonna coast out. And then he ragdolled pop, like jackasses down the highway.
Yeah. But the way he got up from it, you could tell it hurt.
He was just like, oh, shit. You just hear that. Oh, it kind of slinks into the shadows.
Yeah, he looked like a 90-year-old man. Like, he was just like,
so good.
Step with intent.
Yeah,
step
just with don't intent. Let them see you cry.
Yes, exactly
it
that.
It was so good. Okay, so we start the beginning. Sets this whole he is the fear thing, and it's gorgeous and it's beautiful, and the cinematography of this movie is amazing, and I loved some of the shots through night vision. And just like,
can we take a second to actually talk about how they made a DC film that took place at night?
Yep.
That you can actually see what the fuck was going on.
I know, it's crazy, right? And of all the movies to do that with, it was The Batman.
It was The Batman. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So I want to say right now from the beginning, this, I believe, is my favorite Batman movie now.
Really?
This has taken the top. It has taken it from Batman Returns.
Wow.
And I love Batman Returns.
So do I. I will say I really, really enjoyed this. I really do. I will bring up something that has been talked about ad nauseum on like TikTok and things like that, which is Dark Knight a better movie and this is a better comic book movie, or is this a better movie and Dark Knight is a better comic book movie? I'm in the later camp.
That this is a better movie and Dark
Knight. This is a better movie. And Dark Knight was a more accurate, better comic book movie. This was not a comic book movie. Not at all.
I disagree.
I thought that this was a psychological thriller that just so happened to have a superhero as the main character.
Here's I think, where the difference comes. The Batman comics vary as wildly as any comic on the market. Mm-hmm. Depending on who's writing him and who's penning the page and everything. Yeah. You have Batman that's part of the Justice League, who is
superhero.
The Batfleck.
Yeah.
Superhero Batman, totally on point. Mm-hmm. Or you have what I think is the most accurate to what most people display as Batman.
Yeah.
It's almost like the animated series. Mm-hmm. That's when most people, especially our generation, think of Batman.
It's the animated series.
The animated series Batman is who we think of. This is...
That's why Kevin Conroy is actually my favorite Batman.
Yeah, and I love Kevin Conroy. He's amazing. This is, I think, probably the most accurate to the majority of Batman comics on the market. When you get out of the when you get away from the ensemble cast, when you get into the this is a Batman comic, how he acts to people, how he responds to things, and his level of like invulnerability, quote unquote, that happens when he fights Superman, those all go out the window, and you end up with something like this. And this is a really good lead into...
Well, I mean, it's year two.
Yeah, this is year two. This is a really good lead into, like, Court of Owls and things like that, all of which are really... This is right on brand for.
Yeah.
If you read the Court of Owls or anything that prefaces it, written by the same people, this is that Batman.
Yeah.
And you
feel, minus the fact that Dick's not there.
Minus the fact that Dick's not there.
Yeah.
But and I think one of the reasons that that's the case is, and Robert Pattinson talks about this, he is a huge Batman fan. Mm-hmm. And he's a big fan of that type of Batman comics. Yeah. And so he played this Bruce Wayne and this Batman like that Batman.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, probably the most comic accurate of the Batman.
Well, here's the thing. And this is where I'm gonna
And also to your point, because I don't want to let the Dark Knight go. And I love The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
It's an amazing movie. The Dark Knight is not a movie about Batman. The Dark Knight is about the Joker.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Batman Begins is the only one of that trilogy that's about Batman.
I don't know if we've actually had this on air, but I know you and me have had this conversation.
Talked about this, The Batman Begins is the only one of those trilogies that's about Batman.
It was about Batman,
And it's the only one that is a good Batman movie. Mm-hmm. The Dark Knight is a great Joker movie that has Batman. Dark Knight Rises is... an okay movie that has Bane in it.
I'm not going to even give it okay. It's rough.
There's some things I don't like about it a lot.
I really, really, really didn't like that movie.
Yeah. But the point is like The Dark Knight is a really good movie, and it is comic accurate to some of the Joker-focused story arcs.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And Keith Ledger's rendition of the Joker is
iconic. Did you say Keith?
Heath Ledger.
Oh, okay.
I did kind of make a sound when I said
okay, just making sure.
His rendition of the Joker is iconic and absolutely amazing, but I don't think it's a good comic book movie. I think it's a better cinematography movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's a better mainstream movie. And Batman, I think the whole Batman Begins trilogy is a better mainstream movie and is not a very good comic book movie.
Okay. Can I retort?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Of course.
So my retort, one... cinematographically, this movie blew the Dark Knight out of the water.
This was amazing across the board.
Yeah. So I would say if you're looking at it from just a purely just cinematography based standpoint, this is a better movie.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it's about.
Yeah. Just
this
in
was
general.
Shot beautifully. The color grading in it was incredible.
Yes, absolutely.
The effects were on point. Everything was really, really crisp and really, really good. Altogether
related to that, I'm agreeing with you 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the first scene of the functional Batmobile,
yes,
gave me a chubby. That shit was beautiful.
Yeah,
I chills. It was done
just
so well.
How the engine block, because of course the engine block had to poke through for some reason
and is on fire.
It just slowly started glowing, and just the flash of blue behind it from the thruster.
Yep.
It was it introduced the Batmobile like a character.
Yes, it really did. And it was
That car is going to beat someone's ass is what's going
to
happen.
They showed that the trailer did a little lie to me.
It did.
I thought that car was I one of my complaints in the podcast that people are definitely listening to tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely listening to.
Was that the car was, there was no realism to this car whatsoever, mm-hmm. that was blown yeah. through stuff.
Because we thought that it was driving through.
Through a trailer full of stuff.
Yeah.
Or a tanker of oil yeah. or whatever it was.
We just thought it was driving through something it shouldn't drive through.
And they show it hit the ramp.
Yeah.
And that is
straight
like,
Dukes of Hazzard.
And I was like, okay, now it's believable enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say that whole chase scene mm-hmm. was almost like, it could have been used as a commercial for Maserati.
Oh, for sure.
Because it was like, Maserati, so fast, you can outrun Batman for a really long time.
You don't think they paid millions of dollars to have the Penguin driving that car?
Guaranteed.
Maserati was like, hey, if the Penguin likes the Maserati and he can run away from Batman for, I don't know, 30 seconds, we'll give you $15 million. Mm-hmm. And they were like, 15 seconds is a lot. And they're like, okay, how about 20 seconds. I'm like, yeah, okay, we'll do it for 15.
I don't know. He was running
for a while.
Really long time. He got some distance on the fucking Batmobile. Anyway,
so I interrupted you.
But yeah.
Cinematography,
this, just from a pure movie mm-hmm. standpoint, blows it out of the water.
For sure.
It definitely does depict Batman as more of a detective than a superhero, which is what they were going for. They were mm-hmm. going, which is why I put this in the genre of psychological thriller that just so happened to have a superhero as the main character, as the detective.
See, Batman comics is a psychological detective comic. DC stands for Detective Comics because of Batman.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was smart enough. I don't think that he was at the level of detectiveness that he should be. I think that he really felt like a real person. He felt like a very grounded, real person, almost too much.
I disagree, but only because of a couple of things that I noticed mm-hmm. that I don't know if the average person's going to notice.
Okay.
All right. So, for instance, something that Batman does in the comics mm-hmm. that he did in this is that methodical crime scene walkthrough.
Yes.
The not talking to anyone. Mm-hmm. That you know, first of all, he's definitely taking, like, and you see later on.
It's because he's
wearing the thing.
Yeah.
But.
Which, how does that work? What is the power source for that?
We have bionic contact lenses right now.
I mean, but how long of a battery? He had that shit in for hours.
Anything like, well, first of all, if they have anything like, whatchamacallit, one of those quartz-based stress materials mm-hmm. can run off your body temperature. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't take a lot of power.
Probably not. I don't know. It was.
And I'm sure. Look, that's sci-fi for sure. I'm not saying that. But it's
that was
not
a 4K resolution and shit like that.
It's not too distant future sci-fi. I don't think.
Yeah.
And so he the way he moves, the way he's literally profiling everything.
I liked that first scene of him mm-hmm. of him walking through the crime scene.
Yeah.
And I was just like, especially when they were talking about the thumb being missing.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he was alive.
Yeah.
When they did that.
Yeah.
And the guy looked at him like, dude, I just looked at this. How do you know that? Yeah. And then he points out exactly what it was. Now, and he's leading the photographers, the forensic photographers.
Yep. He'd look at something and they'd be like, snap, 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 snap.
The issue is that's the only time that happens. Other than that, he feels like he's the Riddler is super duper smart. So he is always like one step ahead.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it highlighted it enough.
So, but you got to understand, this is Batman year two.
Yes.
Even in the comics, Batman year two, a lot of his time and mental energy has been prepping mm-hmm. technology and physical training.
Yes.
And he builds up the detective skills kind of as he
goes along. Yeah.
With a lot of training and guidance from Alfred, which this demonstrated.
This did. I will say, this is another thing that made me go, better movie mm-hmm. than comic book movie. If you're looking at just the Dark Knight series as a trilogy, that Bruce Wayne trained mm-hmm. with the League of Shadows.
Yeah.
Okay. So it makes sense that he's such a good fighter.
Yeah.
This Bruce Wayne, definitely they're not going for the whole master of every single martial art, because he gets his ass handed to him quite a few times. Yeah. But he's trained specifically by Alfred.
Yes.
Which made Alfred more badass, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
But
and once again, Batman year two.
Yes.
Like a lot of that's what I'm kind of getting at is a lot of the comic books that people think of when they think of Batman or ensemble comics.
Yeah.
And Batman in the Justice League or Batfleck is a Batman that's been doing it for 20 years.
Has
tons of experience, tons of knowledge, has trained in every form of martial arts in that time, and knows all their strengths and weaknesses right away and how to tailor their combat style to it. This is a new Batman, and this is the this is the comic book Batman's I like. This is
I will say this is my preferred version of Batman.
Yeah,
a Batman that does utilize fear and the unknown to work to his benefit. A Batman that is constantly trying to outthink you.
Yeah,
I just think that it wasn't highlighted enough to make him. Because the thing is that he wasn't even a better detective than Commissioner Gordon Lieutenant Gordon for half the time.
Well, okay, but so you can't be the best at everything all the time.
He's Batman. And he's not human. And
you pointed this out too. You're also comparing him to the Riddler, who's doing this.
Yeah,
the Riddler, who is bar none one of the smartest people in DC Comics, not just the Batman.
Yeah.
So he's a step behind him. He's solving a lot of these riddles. He's putting the clues together. He's just he's not quite there yet. And he also has no history with the Riddler to know how he thinks.
Yeah.
Which is a very big thing. Batman learns about his enemies.
True. Yes. That is very, very true. I will say, like I said, I don't have a problem with the movie. Mm. It's just, I was like, if I'm comparing it to what I consider a comic, because that's the whole thing. Yeah. I'm not saying technically comic accurate.
I feel like
movie.
Marvel ruined movies because.
There we go.
Which we might have talked about in tomorrow, if you're listening.
No. Different one. Different
is it a different one? Different one.
Legends of Vox Machina is the one that they've been listening to.
That's right.
The MCU ruining it. That one's coming out after this.
Okay.
I'm making sure
that
they come out in this order because this one needs to come
this
out.
This comes to come out right after.
I think that if you're looking at a comic book movie, and I think that's what most people are saying comic book accurate, that's not what they mean. They mean comic book movie, where it's a hero origin or a hero movie.
Okay.
That's not what this is.
No,
this is a movie.
Okay. From that definition, then I can agree with you.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking of it, and my biggest issue is when I think comic book movie, I'm thinking is this accurate to the comics? And
am I going to find this somewhere in the comics?
And you would. This is step to step. Although a different story, it meets all of the same beats as Batman Year 2 comics.
And you need to make sure that you're comparing it to the right time frame.
Because that's a big thing. Once again, this is not Batman in the Justice League. This is not Batman,
Because Year 1 Batman, in that whole run, he made tons of mistakes.
One Batman almost died and or went down so much because he just wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
And Batman Year 2 is when you see him start to become the Batman most people think of.
And that's what this movie was capturing. It was capturing that story.
It was absolutely excellent at it.
Yeah. But I can
agree with you then that this is not the classic hero comic book movie. Mm-hmm. This isn't Shazam or Superman or Justice League. It is much more psychological. It is a mystery.
It is intentional also. Every little thing. There wasn't anything, because I realized they lingered on a few shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was sitting in the theater going, why is that shot even in?
Yeah.
And then at the end I went, oh, that was a shot of a van.
Mm-hmm.
They held on a shot of a van for what I thought was no reason.
Yep.
But it came to be important later.
Very intentional. They did what the MCU does across multiple movies in one.
Yeah.
They used that sort of style of this is for the audience, nudge.
Yeah.
And then you hope Batman catches up.
Yeah.
And they did it in such a way that
it wasn't in your face.
Yeah, it wasn't obvious.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of those where I didn't realize they were doing it to three quarters of the way through, and I went, oh fuck, they showed us this detail.
Yeah.
And then I started paying attention more, and as I think it was in the Riddler's apartment when they start focusing on the walls, and I was combing those walls. I'm like, this is shit is important, it's not over. They're showing the scenes, and I'm like, I know there's something here.
Yeah.
And guess what? I missed all of it. I'm not Batman. I missed all of it. He missed it.
And I think that's kind of intentionally what they did. They wanted you to be like, this is so hard to figure out.
Yeah.
They're like, this is so not an in your face superhero can solve all the problems movie that we're going to show you everything that we're showing Batman, and you can't figure it out. and he's trying his best. He's figuring it out before you.
Yep.
You need him to show you how to figure it out.
And even and it was he shot missed
that,
shit.
Yeah, and it was shot that way to purposely make you feel like, this is really hard to figure out. Yeah. I don't really know what's going on. Yeah. I don't know why this is happening.
So good.
Yeah.
Let me give you a level of how good this movie was. The audience and Jared.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this. Jared. I went with my wife. My wife has a short attention span, ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Very few movies hold her interest.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if my wife and I go to a movie together, and this isn't a jab at her, this is just, I know how she is.
Yeah.
I expect her to fall asleep about half hour, 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
She just doesn't care. She tries. She likes to be interested
she's
in
this trying stuff, for you.
But the narrative, she tries for me, and she is into that stuff. Her attention span isn't there for a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I expect at some point she'll just nod off, which is fine. I just leave her sleep. She doesn't care. She was wrapped up in this movie. She didn't, not only did she not fall asleep, she was actively engaged the whole time.
Yeah.
That's saying for a three, we don't do movies very often because sitting through them is hard for me.
Yeah.
Sitting through them is impossible for her.
Yeah.
We did that 3-hour fucking Batman movie and she was on the edge of her seat with me.
Yeah.
That's how good this was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. It didn't feel like a 3-hour movie, even though it definitely had beats in it.
Oh, yeah.
That were, it almost felt like three separate 1-hour movies.
Yeah.
That were stitched together flawlessly.
Yes.
Where it's like they were definitely acts to this show.
So let's, since we're going over like cinematography and this, I want to cover the actors because, or actresses.
Yes.
Because, first of all, I have to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you listening tomorrow, I'm about to not necessarily shit talk Andy Serkis, but say that I doubted his ability.
Yeah.
I take it back.
Mm-hmm.
I take it back. He was an excellent Alfred.
Yes.
I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely on Alfred. It was on brand for Alfred. He didn't look how I picture Alfred.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
much. But he was like to the T.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred, especially comic accurate Alfred.
Yeah, yeah. Where you have someone who has a past where he is so good at hurting people and everything else that he does. I think what he brought to this role better than just about anybody else that I saw was guilt.
Mm-hmm.
In a different way, because most Alfreds, you don't see the guilt.
They're altruism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's purely altruistic. They love Bruce so much that they'll do anything for him. And this, you really saw the guilt of, you were a kid and you hold yourself to a standard that no human being should.
Yep.
But I was an adult.
Yeah.
And that was my job, was to keep them alive. And they're not alive and you don't have parents because of me.
Yeah.
And that's never talked about.
It's just left. It's finally addressed. And they also demonstrate his intellect with the riddles and stuff.
Oh yeah. Where he was the one figuring it out.
He's like, I took the liberty of taking a plug at it and comes up with parts of it. He's part of that solution process. I loved Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't know he was the Penguin until I saw an interview where he was like, I went out in the full makeup one day and no one recognized me. And I was like, the full makeup of what? And then he's like talking more and he's like, the Penguin. It was like a TikTok I saw or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, the Penguin makeup. And I was like, shut the fuck up. That's him.
I only knew that because of the Hot Ones episode that he was on. I was like, oh shit, he's playing the Penguin.
Yeah,
because it does not look like him.
It doesn't look like him at all. It's not any of his normal characteristics.
Like,
yeah, he just killed it.
Yeah,
if you'd told me Bullseye from 2001's Daredevil or whatever it was, 2001's 99, I don't remember. Yeah. Whatever
from the Ben Affleck Daredevil.
Ben Affleck Daredevil. If you told me that Bullseye was gonna play the Penguin, I'd be like, "Fuck, that's gonna suck so bad."
Think about it. Think about what this movie did.
Yeah,
this movie went. The Edward from Twilight is gonna be Batman.
Yep.
Gollum is gonna be
Alfred.
And Bullseye from freaking
Daredevil.
The original Daredevil movie is gonna be Penguin.
Yep.
And also
fucking
the Don't Mess with the Zohan bad guy is gonna be Carmine Falcone.
Who's also the idiot agent from Transformers, who's in
yeah.
he plays a million comedic roles. He's hilarious, and he was so intimidating.
He was a terrifying mobster.
Yes, absolutely. This movie, the acting... Oh, and of course, don't forget Zoe...
I don't know. I haven't seen her be bad at anything. So well, like, she's good in everything she's in. She was
excellent in this.
She was, yes.
And she's just, I
expected that from her, though, because she is legitimately good in everything that she's in.
I don't want her performance to be underplayed because she is excellent in everything.
Yeah.
That's what happens to Johnny Depp a lot, is like he's amazing at everything he does.
So you just expect it from him.
Yeah. But she did really well.
She did. She sold it.
This was just across the board. The acting for this was amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, big spoiler.
It was believable. It was crazy. Yeah. And a superhero.
Yeah, absolutely. Big spoiler.
Yeah.
I loved the twist about Bruce's father and parents.
Same here.
I know there's a lot of people being like, because they
always seem
canon.
Like so flat of characters. Well,
yeah, they're just insert protagonist perfect parents that get killed.
Why is he so sad that they're dead? Well, because they were perfect. Yeah, that's why.
They were perfect people with billions of dollars, and they never did anything wrong. And it's always felt like, okay, it's insert generic story.
Yeah.
This, by the way, didn't cast them as villains or anything. Once you get the whole thing, like, yeah, he made a mistake, but he didn't, like...
Which, that hospital scene, oh my goodness, that was so
rough. Yeah.
And how it was played, just mm-hmm. Andy Serkis trying not to break down while he explains this, but like totally slowly breaking down.
Yeah.
And Robert Pattinson just being like, I can't emotionally handle this.
Yes.
But I'm going to just tell you that I almost couldn't emotionally handle this.
It was so well done.
Yeah.
And their little twist, the whole like, okay, his mother was in and out of mental institutes and they're from a rich family. That didn't want people to know that, which makes total fucking sense.
The moment that they were like, the guy, you know, and Martha Arkham, I went, Martha Arkham?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is that from the comics? If that's not from the comics, good fucking job that's, bringing that together.
Yeah, how the best way to make instill that Bruce is the Prince of Gotham than to make him both a Wayne and an Arkham?
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And his dad being like the worried husband, mm-hmm. and then the twist. Well, first you think, well, fuck, he had this guy killed.
Yeah.
And you're like, his dad was a piece of shit. And I was not cool with that. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, I will say. Yeah, I was like,
that was a step too far.
I was like, you're seriously tarnishing it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're really, really changing the story.
But when you get that unraveling in the talk with Alfred, you're like, oh, it makes sense now. And yeah. He panicked. He went to the wrong person
mm-hmm.
because he was, you know, not a criminal. Because
he is a generally altruistic person.
Yeah. So he went to the wrong guy, and that wrong guy murdered this dude. And then he was a really, you know, fucking... destroyed by that.
Which, honestly, I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows how well acted and written this whole thing was.
Yeah.
That we all believed a mobster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah, the mobster. He said, yeah, your father told me to get rid of this guy. And we were like, fuck, his father told him to get rid of this guy. Yeah. The piece of shit that's lied to his daughter his whole life. Yeah. Her whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. We totally believed it. We were like, well, the Riddler said it. The Riddler gave some some strong evidence. He corroborated in a way that's realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't a rich guy have come to a guy also, that he helped before?
The way the Riddler does it, or some of the points the Riddler makes, actually kind of...
makes sense?
Well, not just makes sense.
Are you coming over to the dark side with me, Turtle? Where you can rationalize with the villains?
There's a meme about... how Batman could do more for the city with money than he does being Batman.
And it's
for the most part
pointed out by the people in the mayor-elect.
Yeah, mayor-elect and people in the movie and so on and so forth. But this also shows how it can kind of be counteracted, because a lot of what his money was doing for the city was then corrupted by how corrupt the city was. But,
yeah, exactly.
Into these...
You need both parts.
Yeah, so you needed... It then goes like, yes, can he do a lot for the city with money? Absolutely. But you can't do it unguided.
Yeah.
And you have to be wary, because everyone in this city, with few exceptions, is corrupt.
You need to cut out the cancer of the city, because if not, no matter what you do, somebody is going to twist it.
Exactly.
I also kind of take that into going forward from here.
Mm-hmm.
His Bruce Wayne personality is going to have to be more prevalent, because he definitely got a very rude awakening, because his whole first, I will say, I hated that first conversation with Alfred, where he was just like, you're not my dad.
Oh my God, that
was
one
like,
was rough.
I was like, fuck you, Robert Pattinson, you be nicer to Alfred.
Yeah, that one was rough. I was like, you don't talk to him like that.
Exactly. Oddly defensive.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, but he was basically telling him, he was like, dude, you gotta be you? Mm-hmm. You're gonna ever show your face? You're gonna show up at your company?
Are you gonna be involved as Bruce Wayne ever at all?
And he didn't do that. He didn't care about it. And then he learned, hey, if you're not looking at the books, the books might be totally fucked up.
Yeah.
And you're like, smart enough that you would have caught this thing, but you let it happen.
Yep. And that's something that the Riddler helped kind of bring spotlight to as well.
Yeah.
Because of the whole financial scheme. That, once again, in this, I like that the Riddler starts off as a forensic accountant.
Yeah.
That's his like job before this.
Were you hoping that he was going to be Edward Nygma?
I did, yeah.
But they changed it to, was it Nashton or Nash or something like that?
But he had multiple identities and you're not entirely sure which one's real.
I so focused on the one that said Edward that I couldn't get the second one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did I miss it? Did it say Nygma? And I missed that. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a combination of it. But man,
I think it's something. I think if they ever bring him back, it's going to be like a loop-de-loop. Maybe they'll bring him as that. What do you think of the little Joker cameo at the end?
Loved it.
Yeah?
Loved it. I like that idea for the Joker more than Jared Leto. Jared Leto's Joker.
Yeah.
That was a terrifying Joker.
No, he was legit. The only part of him I didn't like was the only part I didn't like. The only part of it I didn't like was the laugh. And I didn't say it was bad. It's just, I love to Mark Hamill Joker laugh.
It's not
laugh.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
it's never
going to be the Mark Hamill Joker laugh.
Yeah.
And so until I get time with that Joker to hear it and really feel it, I won't like it.
I mean, think about it. Like, a lot of people were like, Heath Ledger's Joker laugh is weird.
And now it's
great. It's terrifying.
Yeah. But you know what? Heath Ledger's Joker laugh, it's not Mark Hamill's.
It's not.
That's all I'm saying.
It's not.
If we could just dub over Mark Hamill laughing to every Joker in the future, that'd be fine.
Just open your mouth over and over and over again. Yeah. We're going to have Mark Hamill come in and actually just do the laugh for
you. That's all I need. You don't even have to do that. Pull sound clips from Batman the Animated Series.
And just laugh over this.
And just laugh over that. That's fine with me, man. It's just, that's all I need.
Yeah. I did like it. Like, at first, because of like how his face kind of looked, I was like, wait, are they doing Two-Face?
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, this is 100% Joker.
Yeah. And I think the backstory that they slipped or leaked is that he has a genetic issue that he's always smiling.
That's perfect. That's, I mean that definitely works. I will say there was one thing that I noticed when he was talking about the whole sins of the father.
Yeah,
we'll just call it like arc of the story, the sins of the father arc of the story, because it did feel like there was acts to this play.
Absolutely.
So while that was occurring, am I the only one that got really heavy Hush vibes from it?
So here's the thing.
His costume in general reminded me of Hush also.
The entire movie hints at Court of Owls.
Mm-hmm.
Hush is a big part of Court of Owls.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, because he's the other super rich
and
family.
And there's a ton of weird hints at it, like throughout the whole movie. So the doctor.
Well, when he said hush money, it literally just said hush. Yes. It didn't say hush money.
That's like the most blatant of them. There's lots of references to the potential that the kid exists, that Hush exists.
Yeah.
That I can't remember because it's been a while. So I really wanted to rewatch it this week. I just didn't want to go to the movies again.
Yeah. You should have gone with me. There was five other people in the movie theater. There were six other people in there. Mm-hmm. Four of them were together, and then two of them were directly behind me.
Sucking dick. Yep.
And it was only for the last quarter of the movie, but you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. but there's a lot of little...
We'll glance over that for everybody. That for
there's a lot of little hints at Court of Owls and Hush, and I'm on board.
Yeah.
I want number two to be Court of Owls.
Mm-hmm. Really. For a second, like when someone was... When this new Joker figure was talking to Riddler at the end, there was a part of me that kind of was thinking that was going to be Hush.
Yeah.
That they were just tweaking the backstory a little bit.
That's kind of what I thought a little bit too, but I didn't think it was...
When I was expecting him to start singing the Hush Little Baby to like get him to calm down.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the only way that comic book fans will know that that's Hush.
Yeah, for sure. but I just, he got too much Joker vibes right away.
Yeah.
It was just really good.
Yeah, it was. It was the casting in this movie, no matter how controversial it was.
Oh yeah, amazing.
Was incredibly well done.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do want to see your thoughts on what ended up being like a controversy around this movie. Well, there's two.
Okay.
There's two different things.
I have an idea what you might be talking about, but I'm not sure.
And let me start with the lighter one.
Okay.
Okay. The lighter one is people think that the last act mm-hmm. of this movie, mm-hmm. the flooding,
yeah,
didn't belong in this movie.
Okay.
They think that it was interjected. It felt abrupt. It mm-hmm. felt jarring.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go with the
narrative flow of the rest of the movie.
Yeah, of this psychological thriller type detective mm-hmm. yeah. movie, yeah. which people feel like it should have ended with the capture of the Riddler.
I disagree.
So do I.
Yeah. So a couple points on that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, as a psychological thriller, a lot, especially when the psychological thriller has a main character,
mm-hmm.
you need a breakdown of that character.
Yeah.
Now, the Batman is a hard character
just
to
think
have.
Of Seven.
Yeah, exactly.
That last what's in the box scene.
What's in the box scene is iconic.
Yeah.
This, you had to have the Batman lose at least a little bit.
You needed him to break.
Yeah.
You needed to break something.
And he was there, and that's what it is. And you can't have, it's hard to have the Batman break without yeah. doing something that would really break him.
Yeah, and they flooding, didn't kill Alfred.
They didn't kill Alfred, even though they tried.
If they would have, I would have been very mad at mm-hmm. this movie, actually.
Can you imagine if the Riddler had killed Bruce Wayne without realizing that he was Batman, and then Batman never shows up, and he's like,
What happened?
I don't understand.
This is weird.
I thought he'd come and congratulate me. We have this whole plan together. Because that's his whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The little hint that, like, the Joker, the Riddler's like, I know you're Bruce Wayne, but then he really doesn't.
Yeah.
That was really...
Where he just keeps saying Bruce Wayne mm-hmm. over and over and over mm-hmm. again, and just that whole Batman's trying not to give it away, but mm-hmm. he's got the whole kick puppy look yeah. on his face. We're just like, oh, he knows,
and there's a camera.
And it's just yeah. like, the only one we didn't get.
Yep.
And I was just like, ooh.
Yeah, that was good. But I don't think it was offbeat at all. It still shows him breaking down. It still shows him struggling.
Mm-hmm.
It shows Gotham trying, and it shows a major psychological shift
mm-hmm.
for the Batman.
Yeah,
that's important. You want to see that growth and character development. This movie is him one step behind and realizing he's not the big fish
mm-hmm.
and trying to catch up mentally
mm-hmm.
until he fails. To catch up mentally
mm-hmm.
till it's too late because he had all of the pieces.
Yeah.
They were all there and he was not smart enough.
Yeah.
And that's how you lead into Batman Year 3 with him studying more and less.
Trying to sharpen his mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it was perfectly appropriate.
I will say, I'm not taking away from what you said. I actually want to add to what you said on why this was perfectly mm-hmm. necessary.
Yeah.
Is, an undertone to this entire movie
mm-hmm.
was that Batman is not justice.
Yeah.
Batman is vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
And vengeance without direction
mm-hmm.
and without intent
mm-hmm.
is destructive.
Yeah.
And it is self-destructive in mm-hmm. the end.
Yep.
And he needed to transit. He needed a really, really rude awakening
mm-hmm.
to make him make that switch.
Mm-hmm.
From just I am vengeance, I am the knight, I am Batman.
Yeah.
To I am justice.
Yeah.
Like I have to be more
yes.
than an emo kid
yes.
trying to get vengeance for uh-huh. my parents.
And losing and having his I am vengeance line used against him
yes.
by the Joker's henchmen
mm-hmm.
is a pivotal moment in his development.
Yes.
And it was very good.
All yeah. right. That was when he really? Figured out, mm-hmm. I can't be this
because mm-hmm.
this does not... I'm trying to make a positive change
yep.
in a negative city, and I'm trying to do it with negativity.
Yep.
I need and to...
They hint at that early on when the guy he saves from the maybe Jokers, whatever gang of...
Whatever that was.
Insane Clown Posse gang yeah. is terrified of him also.
Yeah.
And you realize he's not putting fear into the right people only.
He's putting fear into everyone.
Everyone. And that's by the end of the movie, he's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of the movie, he's a lunatic in a mask. This was like
No Way Home.
Yeah, this really was.
This was an origin story.
Yeah, it really was, but it was the best origin story.
Without showing the whole, my birds got shot at Ali.
How do I build a bat suit? Like, you just,
we didn't need any of that shit.
No, you just get a real good development story on
it. Yeah, we, you know, technically, year one, he's a vigilante.
Yeah.
Year two, he's a vigilante.
Yeah.
Year three, he's going to be a hero.
Yeah.
This was a hero's awakening.
Absolutely.
And it needed a great psychological thriller
and detective-ness
to get to that point, to awaken it. I will also say the fucking fight with the guys on the catwalk was incredible.
Oh, so good.
Why would you say that's not necessary?
I don't know.
That was one of the most amazing fights I've ever seen. That was so good. Even though he was getting his ass whooped for a lot of it.
Oh, he got a lot of ass whooping.
It was like 26 guys.
And once again, got shot, and it felt like he was taking bullets. It didn't feel like, you know, he was an unstoppable murder tank.
Especially that freaking double barrel shotgun.
Oh, my God, yeah. That's you just felt those hits.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, like it was 26 against one. Mm-hmm. It's like, how much can he really do?
Yeah.
And he was doing
without
a good
job. Without just taking out the top catwalk and killing all those people underneath.
Yeah, exactly. There was a bunch of people in a flooding building underneath you. What the fuck? That was a lose-lose in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And he came out on top.
Yep.
So it is just another one of those. Batman is incredible. He's absolutely more than just a regular person. So, some would say he's not even human.
Some would say he's not even human. We're going to talk about that, maybe. So what's the other controversy?
The other controversy, and I feel stupid for even mentioning this one.
Okay.
All right? And I want to let you know, I didn't come up with this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make this very clear. I am a person of color. I did not come up with this.
Oh, is this the Zoe Kravitz thing?
No. 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 They said that all the bad people were white.
Oh, I did hear
And all the good
this.
People were not white.
Oh, no. You're telling me that all of the good people in this movie were black and all of the bad people were white? But what a shocking, how can we have a movie? It's not like there's been a billion movies since the dawn of time where every bad person was black and every good person was white.
Yeah.
And this one isn't even, Batman is white.
He's still
Alfred
white.
Alfred is white.
Yeah, they're still white.
Like,
Zoe Kravitz is half white.
It's not like they're the only. It's just that they're the only non-Batman
or is
characters.
She a part white.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Lenny Kravitz is half.
I don't care. She'd be a quarter.
Is she a quarter? White?
It doesn't matter. Someone's ethnicity plays no part in it for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The actor that plays Commissioner Gordon is one of my all-time favorite actors.
He's incredible. Ever since I saw him in Westworld, I was like, dude, you're great.
He's fucking amazing in Westworld. He's great in Hunger Games. He's great in everything I've seen him.
He was amazing in this.
Yeah,
he was
absolutely
incredible.
On point for Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
I did not think there'd be a better Commissioner Gordon than, what's his name from the Snyderverse stuff?
Gary Oldman.
No, not Gary Oldman. Is he Gordon? Oh,
he's
Gordon in Batman Begins and stuff.
Yeah.
He's a great Gordon. I love Gary Oldman, but that's not who I'm thinking of. JJ, he plays J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh,
he's the Batflex Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved him as Gordon. I thought he was so on brand for Gordon.
Yeah.
Even though you don't get too much of him.
I just refer to him as J. Jonah Jameson.
J. Jonah Jameson.
That's who he is.
And I know his name is just blanking right now.
Yeah.
This guy was amazing as Gordon. This was amazing as a young Gordon figuring out that everyone is fucked. Like, they're all corrupt, all of them.
And his level of trust in the Batman was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but even Batman said, like, there's one person he trusts in the city kind of thing. And it's like,
yeah.
Like, and the mayor is the mayor. I didn't really think she had enough of a part to value. Like, she's one of the good people. Like, no, she's not one of the corrupt ones. That doesn't mean she's a good person. She definitely did blindside Bruce Wayne at a funeral to get financial support.
Yeah.
That's not, she's a politician.
She's a politician.
She took the moment and she ran with it. It's not like she's the hero of the show.
Also, everyone knows Gotham corrupts.
Yeah, and that's
exactly. It's a process.
So, like, I don't, they're all, I don't care. It's bullshit. I don't, you're just, the people are just too sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that in like, oh, black people and white, but it's just, if you're not enjoying the character, that's one thing. But the color of their skin doesn't matter if they're not. If they were bad acting, that's one thing. If he sucked as Gordon, I'd say he sucked as Gordon.
Yeah,
but he didn't.
He did a fucking bang up job.
The
it
casting
was incredible.
This was amazing. Yeah,
it was amazing.
There's been plenty of characters. I just like let's reference The Witcher. Okay, The Witcher. There's a lot of controversy because of Triss and not Triss.
Not Triss.
Maribel. Yeah, it was Triss. It was Triss. Triss. She's a woman of color.
Yeah.
Okay, that's who they cast for it. Now, I'm not a huge Witcher fan. I didn't care either way. I still don't care either way.
I like the games. I've never read the books. I'm not going to lie.
I didn't care that they cast someone of color for Triss. What I cared about is, I don't really like Triss. She sucked.
She's a shitty character.
She's a shitty character. She wasn't a great actress either. I don't think. She wasn't awful.
I think her character fell flat a lot of the times. I didn't give a shit about her at all.
Exactly. She had nothing that drove me to it. I have no problem saying that if they suck. And that goes both ways. There's plenty of white actors and actresses that we have shit on this podcast. You know why? Because if you suck, you suck. Yeah. It just is what it is.
This is exactly
what it
is.
These people were amazing, and the color of the skin didn't affect me.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even notice it until, so I saw that meme, whatever, the TikTok talking about it, and I saw it, and I was like, it didn't even occur to me, because I don't care.
It's
they
true.
Were amazing.
It was a dumb complaint to have about a great movie.
The only part I did care about is that I was like, I don't know if the mayor is really a good guy, or the mayor-elect is really a good guy.
I looked at her this way. I was like, she is a standard insert Democratic person, which just means that she's, due to the fact that she's young, she's naive.
Yep.
And due to the fact that she's a Democrat, she just has very aggressive views on making things better for the people at the expense of whatever.
Change or whatever.
So like, exactly. So she's all about that. So which just means that she has not been corrupted yet.
Yeah, wasn't the original mayor Spanish? I feel like they're whitewashing the bad characters. like they're like, all the bad people were white. And I'm like, I don't know if you like watched the same movie. There was the movie was very diverse.
Yeah.
There's lots of interesting names. I mean, one of the shithead lieutenants that was Gordon's superior was like a Rodriguez.
No, Martinez was one of the cops.
Martinez.
He was a good guy, though. He was one of the good ones.
I don't think he was.
He was the one standing there with Batman when everything blew up.
Oh, I don't know. Are you talking about the same one? I'm talking about the guy with the big mustache.
Yep.
That's yelling at Gordon.
Oh, no, that's Savage.
Savage.
His name was Savage.
Oh, that's Savage. That's a good name.
It's a good name. It's pretty good names in this, but
yeah, there were some pretty good names. I feel like he wasn't white. I just feel like they're the people.
No, he
was
white.
I don't know.
Technically,
he had white hair.
They were all rich. They were all rich and white, is what they were. All rich white people.
All the cops were shitty, corrupt people. And were they all rich white people?
Yeah, they got paid off for it. Well, they're all rich white people.
I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Well, most of them. There's a big chunk of that was in that scheme.
Plus, also, but they only said the words white privilege one time in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that the controversy
which, over honestly, stuff. I was like, that wasn't necessary, but I mean, it comes across. Like, I get what you're getting
that's
at.
That's got to be a point for, you know, if you're going to talk about it. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't like, they didn't like go into it, and that's fine. But they made a point, like, Selena Kyle had feelings, I think, valid feelings about things going to happen. And growing
she had
up as,
life.
As a mob boss's daughter who didn't even know or care about
her. Unclaimed mom boss's daughter.
So like
unclaimed kid.
Unclaimed freight. You're gonna have some feelings about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And growing up in Gotham, which is one of the most poverty stricken cities in the DC universe, you're gonna have a lot of feelings about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Especially when there's so much corruption. So many people up top that don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
And I mean, okay, yeah, sure. The Penguin, definitely white, definitely a bad guy. The
Penguin's always white. He's always been white.
Yeah. His last name's Cobblepot. Come on.
Yeah. You're not changing that one.
Yeah. It's like if your last name was like Smith or Naylor, like you're going to be. I guess there are a lot of Smiths. But that's you know what it is. That's what I was thinking of.
I know two Naylors, and one's white and one's black. So, I mean, that kind of goes against it.
No, that's a lot of the. Yeah, you're right. Because that's a lot of those
the
names.
The job names are very,
very,
very
traditional
cross.
English, though.
But you know what? Everyone that I've ever met named white has been black.
Really?
And everyone that I've met named black has been white.
That's a weird juxtaposition.
A weird thing that I've noticed. Me and Kyle have had this conversation where he's like, I've never met a white guy named white.
Hmm.
And then I thought, now that I think about it, Ron White. I've never met him.
I've never met Ron White either, but we know he exists.
We do know he exists.
It's not like he's an elusive Ron White that your friend heard about, and you're like, I guess there could be a Ron White.
It's like the squonk.
The squonk. I have such plans for the squonk.
Ron White, the squonk of comedians.
Anyway.
But so, okay, so you gave this 9 thumbs up.
This is one of my favorite movies now.
Okay. Okay.
I'm giving this a 9 out of 10. And you know how strict my grading scale is.
I do know. I'm giving it probably like an 8.5, 8.8, like somewhere in that in that range. I was I think the issue is that I went into it with nine thumbs up then.
Yeah. I'd have ruined your expectations with a nine thumber.
Yeah. But I will say the entire time I was very happy.
Yeah.
The whole even when the kids were sucking dick behind me. It didn't ruin the movie for me. Also, kids, is a very if you're in a movie theater, don't if the movie theater's empty, don't sit behind one seat behind someone and then
blow your boyfriend.
Three quarters of the way through the movie, I haven't heard you drinking, I haven't heard you eating popcorn, but I hear over and over again.
But what's more Gotham City than a couple of kids giving a BJ in a movie theater?
Yeah, I guess that's very true. It's very true.
Oh, so did you see the meme about Batman that this takes place canonically 20 years ago?
It's in 2000?
It takes place canonically now. So 20 years ago when his parents were killed, they very well could have been leaving a movie theater seeing Shrek.
Really?
They came out of seeing Shrek. They're singing All Star at the end.
That
you walk
is
out of
great.
The theater and pow, later but wanes.
How would that would have made Bruce a bitch because he asked to leave the theater.
Oh, that's right.
What part of Shrek is he gonna be scared of? We gotta think of a movie that came out in 2000
that Bruce Wayne was like, no.
He's like, nah, I can't. I thought I'd be good.
I can't handle this.
Do you know what it was? They went to go see Daredevil.
They went to see Daredevil. He was like, this movie sucks. He saw Colin Farrell as Bullseye and went, fuck this. And Colin Farrell took that personally and became the Penguin to kill Bruce again.
That's what it was.
That's it. We unraveled this Illuminati conspiracy.
Marvel and DC are connected through Colin Farrell.
Oh my god.
Oh shit.
Right, well, I think that's a good place to call it.
I agree.
If you want to listen to our podcast, all the rest of Talk Shonen, Dark Rum, Run Runners, Senpai Kohai, you got to watch this podcast.
You have to watch this
you
podcast.
You have to fuck. You have to watch this podcast.
Chungus.
The Chungus cast, of course.
Fit Talk with Nick now.
Fit Talk with Nick. He's new. He's our buddy. He's awesome. I just listened to him record today. You should really give this guy a listen. Check it out on RunRunnersPodcastNetwork.com.
Yep, we have everything there. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Talk Shonen. Make sure to go check out Times Live Radio Studios on Facebook. And if you're in the Valley, around the Valley, or coming to the Valley and want to know where to eat, check out the Lehigh Valley Food Podcast, as well as the Lehigh Valley Food Magazine to learn everything.
All right, thank you for listening.
Embrace your fandom, everybody.
And let your nerd flag fly.
Peace.